All right, we're going to read God's word together now. If you wanted to grab your Bibles out, that's on page 998 of a Bible you've been handed. All the words will come up on the screen for you as well. The reading this morning is from Philippians chapter 2, starting at sentence 1. Every week at City Light, we look at God's word because we believe that the Bible is God's word. And as it's faithfully read and understood and taught, it's God speaking to us personally. And so this morning we're looking at Philippians chapter 2, starting at sentence 1 and going through to sentence 11. And the words will come up on the screen for you if you don't have a Bible in your hands. Philippians 2, sentence 1. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, sharing the same feelings, focused on one goal. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves. Everyone should look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men. And when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even a death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God.
Guys, hello. I'm here. Thank you, Koba. Guys, it is amazing to have you here today. Welcome to City Light Church. I love this place. I'd die for this place. That's strange. Don't die for church. But it is good to have you here today. I hope you had an amazing New Year's. I did. It was fun. It was crazy. And I hope you did. I hope you're ready for 2015. That's a big one, too. I'm not sure if I am. I think I'm halfway through 2014 at the moment. But I'm going to try and catch up with you guys today. But it's good to have you here today, and I just want to extend that welcome, especially if you're new here today. If this is your first time, I hope you do enjoy your experience of church today. Like Jez said, we are all about Jesus, and ultimately, I hope you come to see Jesus this morning. I hope that you see him here in the way we love one another, which we'll get to today, which is going to be exciting. You may be thinking, why is there a young punk up the front? What's he doing up here giving you a bit of a talk? What does he know, right? And the exciting thing in this is there are two guys here who believe in the younger generation, right? Who believe in all generations, in fact, that where the Holy Spirit and his word is, there is power. And so right now, I just want to honor Jez and Gav. Can someone give me applause? Can someone be with me on this one? I just want to honor Gav and Jez. They're incredible men, they're humble men, and they sit back and say, you know what, have a shot, give it a shot. We trust that where the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is, there will be power. So they're amazing men, and I just want to thank you guys right now. Today is going to be fun. It's going to be good. It's also going to be serious. We're going to talk about Jesus, right? And this is a serious thing. Today, I want you to help me out today. I want you guys to shout me down today. I am going to need your support. I'm going to need you to be with me on this. If there's something you agree with today, I want to hear an amen. I want to hear that you're with me today. This is funny, huh? It's good? Yeah, that's like that. Not bad, huh? I want you guys to feed me almost as I feed you guys, like a really weird penguin feeding a bit. David Attenborough style. This is my favorite, right? Like a weird look here. I just want you guys to support me as I bring the word today. And that is all I'm going to try and bring. It's just the word of God. Whilst this is an awesome, it's going to be a lot of fun on humility, and it's going to be hard to hear on humility too. I want to do this with you today, guys. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to be with us today, because that's the only way anything's going to happen. Pray with me. Father God, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are a good God. You are a humble God. And it is your humility that brought about obedience. And it's your obedience that brought around the cross and salvation for all. And today, we just want to welcome you, God. We ask that you would be here, that you would be with us, that you'd be opening eyes and hearts right now. I just ask that the Holy Spirit would come and just illuminate Jesus today. Can people see Jesus? And in those who love Jesus, I ask that they'd love him more today as we look at your humility and who you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. About two years now, I'd say, actually, I went on a trip to Armidale, right? A trip which is just a six-hour trip, and I went with two amazing people, and we were going for a 21st, right? And so we get what we can together, right? And we're getting ready for this six-hour journey, this venture, this voyage. I think you can only say voyage if it's a boat or in space or something, right? But let's stay with me. And so we get ready for this trip, and it's going to be a good one. It's going to be an amazing one. We've only got fun at the end of this journey anyway. And so we get in the car, and not to a surprise, though, we get in the car at about 9 p.m., right? So it's already late in the day, and this is a six-hour journey we're going to do here. And so here we are. We get in the car, and there's just the three of us, and we start. We start out on our journey, right, on our venture. And I just love road trips because they seem to be, for me at least, they're exactly the same every time. It seems to be like a season of life takes place in a road trip. It's weird how it works. You have the funniest of funnies taking place, and you also have like the serious and really painful chats that have to happen about family or whatever it needs to be, right? And this all happens in this one car trip, right? And there's always this time when you just see the windows going up and down, and that completely depends on the song. If it's a good song, windows down, right? Like everyone's half out the door, practically no door there, right? And everyone's getting into it, and then the windows go up when it's like a pensive, it's a time to think. And I think this is the funny one is, I love this moment a lot. And it's this time that happens every time I get in a road trip. I call it the pensive hour, right? And it's just where everyone has to sort of stop, not make eye contact for a minute, and just think about like who you are. You know what I mean? Everyone's just sitting there, and they're just, and they look forward out the windscreen. They're like, where are we going? You know, and you look out, like, we know where we're going, right? And we look out the windows, and we're just thinking, like, where am I? You know what I mean? And it's really interesting. I love this time, right? And everyone just sort of thinks about who they are, right? Anyway, the trip goes on, right? And so here we are. We're about a couple of hours in. We're coming up to midnight, right? And we pull over, and it's time to have a bit of a stop, time to have a break in this car trip. And we pull over and we all seem to, it's strange, I don't know why, great friends, but we all go in our opposite directions, right? Going in our different ways. And then we just stop and we're out in the middle of nowhere. Again, I don't know where we are. I actually don't know where we are. And we're out in the middle of nowhere and you decide to look out and then look up, right? I decide to look out and up and I look up at this canopy of stars, right? This is just like perfectly evenly lit sky that seems to vignette darken off towards the horizon, and it's beautiful, and it's beautiful, and I'm looking up at this, and I see the moon, and I can look at the craters in the moon, right, the light and the dark spots, and I just think, this is incredible, and I stop, and there's a weird transition that takes place, and I'm sure some of you have felt this before, this transition where you go from thinking, maybe the stars and the moon in the sky are no longer just pieces of art that are here for me. But you start thinking, maybe I'm a part of something bigger. You know? Who's felt that before? Come on. Maybe I'm part of something bigger, you know? And you start thinking, maybe I'm in the presence, you know, of someone greater here. I'm just, and I've thought that, and it's weird. For me, it's always when I look at the moon. I don't know why. I look at the moon and I'm just like, yes, I am a speck in the scheme of things. You know, but what's amazing is it always feels good. And I think it's strange because it's one of the only times that I'd say in this culture and society where feeling small or being small actually feels good. It's weird, right? Like often in this culture, it's all about being big and it's all about me. And then when you take your eyes off yourself and look out, you feel tiny. You feel like a speck, as I said, but you feel good, right? You feel good. And I think this is an interesting feeling because it seems to be weird. It's just strange that I can accept that I'm tiny and that I might not be the center. Have you ever felt this? Have you ever felt this? And when I look at God's word here, right, when I pick up the word of God, I get this feeling, right? And I see this. It's like looking out at a canyon in front of me. I see that, in fact, being before God is like looking over a canyon or at a canopy of stars. You see, you feel small, yet you're in so much awe of who is in front of you and how much greater he is. And I want to show you this today. And that's why I'm up here, is I just want to show you how amazing God is, how worthy to be exalted He is, and for you to fall in love with Him too, and for you to see how incredible and how much worthy, how in awe that we should really be when we come to God, you know. And so, I don't think the 3 points are going to come up on the screen because I didn't tell Christine to do that, but I'm going to run through three things today. One, these are the three truths I really want to push home today, and this is what I see in Philippians. The first one is unity is meant to be. So if you're taking notes, put this bad boy down. Unity is meant to be. Humility is killing me. Yeah, right. It fits. I'll remember it. So will you, Jono. And the King Jesus. So the last one I didn't rhyme. I couldn't change it. The fact is, it's the King Jesus. Come with me to verse 1, sentence 1 and 2 of Philippians chapter 2. And it says, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, sharing the same feelings, focusing on one goal. When I look at these first few sentences, Paul, the writer of this letter, is showing the desires of God through his own desires, right? And I think Paul does this a lot. I think all the writers of the Bible do, because they're Holy Spirit inspired. But what we see here is God loves unity. He loves unity. He is just sick for us to be together, to be one. And the creator of this world just seems to hold so much importance and is in love with us being unified and for there to be unity among us, among his people. And we see this perfect unity, I guess, right up front in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they have this perfect unity with one another. And from that comes this creation, which is us. And from that, I think he desires for us to have the same unity that he has with the Son and the Holy Spirit. God treasures oneness and togetherness. God loves unity. And I think we do too, right? So do I. I know I do. Over this last year, there were a couple of rugby matches I went to, right? And it'd always be with my dad and my brother. And how it would work is my dad would shoot out a text in the middle of the week, right? And he'd say, right, there's a game on this Friday night against Manly or whatever, whoever, who's in, right? I get this text and I look at it, and then this compelling feeling would come over me, right? This is what motivated me to say yes. Sir, I am there. I don't call my dad sir. Yes, I am there, right? And this compelling feeling comes over me, and I worked it out, right? That feeling is that incredible, that what you get when you stand with your brother and your dad or whoever, right? And you're all about the same thing, right? And that's what I love in going to these rugby matches is you have a stadium, right? Full of this. We're shouting down these plays. Even if, this is how it starts, right? And so one Friday night, I'd go along and we'd have our tickets, they're printed out, and you'd be walking along and you're bumping shoulders with people, but there's just smiles right now. Everyone's happy, right? Even the opposition, they're sort of like, well, we don't know where this is going to go. So everyone's sort of smirking, thinking, I'm actually going to win this tonight. And you bump shoulders, and then you go up to the ticket man, you scan your ticket, and you get accepted. Well, at least that's how I see it. And you get accepted, and you're now in, and you're now a part of this new stadium, of this new push that we're going to do right now. And immediately, it's strange, right? The game hasn't even started, but already the stadium stinks, right? It stinks of hot chips and beers. I don't know why. I think it's just constantly there, right? And so it's this feel, and everyone's there, and you get yourself a drink, you sit down, and then here you meet someone to your right. He's wearing the same jersey as you, and so you're automatically best friends, right? And so you're high-fiving him. You're getting pumped for this game, right? And then what takes place is there might be the start of the game might start poorly, right? And your whole, the whole team that's supporting the same team, right? And you all have the same heartbreak when it goes wrong, right? Everyone's sharing the same feelings here. And everyone has the same heartbreak, and then you get that run that just takes off and it works and everyone's together, right? Everyone's like, come on, come on, come on. Off, there was one time I remember being like, come on, boys, come on. And my brother nudges me, right? And he's like, no, man, this is the wrong team. I'm like, get lost, get lost, get lost. Come on, boys, come on. And it's funny, I felt embarrassed, but it's about unity, right? And so we're feeling the same thing, and we want the same outcome for this, and that is an incredible feeling. And I'm sure some of you have felt that here today. It is amazing to be one, even if it's about rugby, right? And then something I've noticed, or you may have picked up on, is I've mentioned all that Paul talks about as fulfillment here in sentence two, right? God desires for us to be a team, for us to work together. And so when Paul talks about any encouragement in Christ, any consolation of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, his point of saying if any is not to say that they're useless or that they're less important, but it's to say that they're actually, in fact, completed in unity. And I think that's what Paul wants to push here, and in working together and being using one another and being one with one another. I think this is something for us today. We don't need to be lone soldiers in this war, in this fight we're trying to do. I think, in fact, let's get alongside each other, huh? Thank you, bro. Let's get alongside each other. Let's love. Let's impact this city, right, this suburb. And you know what? I think this is what God calls of us. He calls us to be one. In John 13, 35, Jesus says, By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, my followers, but if you have love for one another. And I think Jesus is serious about unity. He is serious about us being together, being one. And I want to take this further. I want to take the power of unity a bit further right now. And I would, as we look on at sentence three, it says here, do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Right? And I think, and this is interesting, right? Here we've got Paul, he mentioned so many good things, right, that are happening. He just continues that direction by saying, fulfill them as you be one, as you do these amazing things. And then he stops the flow, right? He stops for a second and says, but wait, do nothing out of rivalry or conceit. Nothing. Right? And I think, again, I think Paul is just showing the desires of God here. God doesn't love seeing us compete. Right? Who's with me on that? God doesn't love seeing us rival one another. God doesn't love seeing us be unrightfully jealous of one another, like God hasn't given us enough of a good thing. Who's with me on that? I think rivalry is the opposite of unity. And that's why Paul stops for a second and says, do nothing in rivalry, because it is the opposite of exactly what God wants, which is unity. Whether you rival one another today, maybe with how you look, maybe with what you wear, you know, maybe with how you present yourselves, the events you appear at, the invites that you have or don't have. Why do we find these things hard? You know, why is it that we often find ourselves rivaling one another or getting filled up with pride about being right or knowing better? It comes from taking our eyes off God. You know, is what I've come to. It comes from taking our eyes off the canopy of stars above us, seeing the beauty and the glory that is in front of us. And when we focus back in on ourselves, that is when we're going to start competing. You know, that when we focus back on ourselves, that's when we're going to start looking horizontally for our worth, our security. We're going to start looking to our job to establish who we really are and how good we are. You know, but God says, when you focus on me, when you focus on God who is greater, you can have your worth and your value in Jesus Christ and what he has done for you today. I got news for you today, guys. This doesn't define you. This doesn't define you. You are defined by the cross of Christ. Who's with me on that today? Come on. We are defined by Jesus dragging himself to death on the cross, that you would know that you are loved. Come on. That you would know that you are loved. And you may think you can lead better. You know, you may think you can do better, you may think you can love better, speak better, whatever it might be, but when Jesus died, he died that all would know where we stand, that all would know, and that we would know that we are loved, and his love destroys all popularity levels today. His love destroys all identity confusion. His love brings security and worth, and it is founded and confirmed at the love that is poured out on the cross of Jesus Christ. Today, guys, I want you to be convicted, but I do not want you to be condemned. All right, I want you to have a heavy heart, but I don't want you to have a destroyed heart over this, because there is redemption. For there is no condemnation in those who are in Jesus Christ. How good is that, right? How good is that? Where there is a lack of humility, there will be a lack of unity. Where there is a lack of humility, there will be a lack of unity. We don't need to rival one another from our pride. And I think some of you might be thinking, well, that's all well and good to say, but what do you suggest? Just change? How? How? And what Paul tells us here is be humble and look to Jesus. That is where the change, and the Holy Spirit will do the work. I believe that today. Be humble, look to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will do the changing. Come on. I think when you put your eyes on God who is greater, you will take your eyes off yourself, and this will free you up. This will free you up to consider others more important than yourself. And in fact, to get to a place where you actually love looking out for the interest of others, it's not just a burden. You can love it. And that comes when you focus on Jesus. And that's what I want to bring today. Humility is the character of God. Which takes me to my second point. Humility is killing me. I love this one, right? Come with me. 5-8 says, make your own attitude, that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men, and when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is the God we worship. Today, guys, this is the God we worship. And when I read this, I often think, you know, God could have come in any way that he wanted, right? Any way that he wanted. And so that was a bad time to take a sip, huh? Any way that he wanted. And I think about it, and I just think, like, what would he have done, right? And I think God could have come showing off his overbearing force. He really could have. Hey, he could have just come and just obliterated everything in front of him, right? But and God also could have come as like maybe a piercing light, you know, or an indestructible build of some sort that would just can't be touched. God could have come fully grown even, right? Not vulnerable in any way. God could have come as a king with a throne and a sword, armies, weapons. But that is not the God we worship today, guys. Who's with me, church? We worship a God who could have come with an overbearing force, but in fact doesn't take equality with God as something to use to his own advantage. Amen? God could have come as an angelic, indestructible force, entity, but he comes in the likeness of men, as a mere human. This is the God I worship. This is the God I worship. God could have come straight into a respectable age with a respectable family, but instead he comes as a manger. He comes in this little manger as a child. He could have come as a king with thrones, dominions, armies. Instead, he serves the weak and he seeks the lost. This is God, huh? He washes the feet of the broken. This is the God we worship, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. This is good news. This is really good news today, right? And God is humble in every way. There's a story of a guy called Joe Lewis, right? I'm not going to tell you too much about him, but how this story runs is he gets on a bus one time and he's sitting down. He's just doing his couple of stops, right? And he's sitting down. He's got his cap on and his hoodie on, and he's just sort of facing the ground, right? It's been a big day, right? And then these three kids come on the bus, and they just start. They're obnoxious, right? They just start throwing comments at everyone on this bus, shooting from the hip, right? At everyone here. And then they seem to target and focus their attention on Joe Lewis, right? And he's this dark-skinned man. And so straight away, they're going for the racist comments, and they're attacking who he is and that he's not worth it. in any way. And it's a short story, but amazing story. Then Joe Louis's stop comes up, right? And just as he goes to get off, he stands up and the bus goes silent. These kids go completely silent, right? And what they see in front of them is this 6'8", dark-skinned man who has broad shoulders and very, very built, right? And he walks up to these kids and he hands a business card to one of the kids, right? And then steps off the bus. The bus starts moving. These kids are shocked, right? I think if I was them, I would have passed out. I don't know, right? But then, I definitely would have. And then one of these kids, he looks at the card and it says Joe Louis on one side, right? And he flips it over and it says Boxing Heavyweight Champion of the World. Boxing Heavyweight Champion of the World. And I see that, I think, what would those kids have been thinking, right? They would have just gone, wow, we were here mocking and having a stab at this guy that in fact was about triple my size, and he has a title of being the boxing heavyweight champion of the world. We're screwed. But at the same time, they would have felt really okay because the bus is moving and he's not on it, right? I think, but when I hear of this story, I can't help but think that God is like Joe Louis. And this Joe Louis's response is incredible. When he has a pastime of putting people into their place, right? And instead, he empties himself and just, he tells them of who he is and steps off the bus and takes it. And I think this is what we see in Jesus on the cross. We see that he empties himself completely, right? And he takes on flesh and he dies on earth to be king. And that's the God I worship, the God who is humble and in his humility brings obedience. And in his obedience brings salvation to all. This is the God I worship, which looked like death on a cross and rising from the tomb. And I've got a question for you guys today, and that is, do you know him? Do you know him? That's what I want to ask today. And finally, come with me. We're going to last truth here, which is the King Jesus. Come with me to sentence 9 to 11. And it reads this: For this reason God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And this is massive from Paul right now. He's just saying, I got nothing. This humble king is worthy to be exalted. I think Jesus says it well when he's on earth and he has this crowd and his followers and his disciples with him. It's seen in the book of Matthew, and he says, the greatest of you will be your servants. He's saying this to a crowd, right? And I can only imagine what the crowd would have been I would have been looking left and right going, so which one of the servants, God of this world has just told me they're going to be the greatest, right? Or not even that. I think maybe some of these guys would have been thinking, the servants that I have at home are a good picture of what the greatest will look like. I think this is incredible. And then Jesus, he follows up this sentence right after it and says, those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. And I think, how many people would have continued their day after hearing from Jesus, and gone out trying to be humble for that one aim to be exalted? I wonder, it makes me think, do you think people would have tried? Let's just say hello here, guys, because maybe we can get a good name after this. But I hear this today, church, being humble to be exalted will not last. It will not endure. It will not take you to the cross like it did for Jesus. Jesus' humility was real. It was so real that it took him to the cross where salvation is for all. And you know what? That is worthy to be exalted today. That is worthy to be exalted. Jesus' humility to obey makes him worthy to be exalted. And God has given him the name that is above every name, so that in the name of Jesus, every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. And I believe that today. I believe in the name of Jesus, you want to come before him humble, asking for him to be in your life, asking for him to do life with. I believe this today. And I'm going to invite Josh or the band to come up right now and just play for us. I think humility, hey? It doesn't seem like an important one, does it? But it has an amazing and an enormous impact on the lives around you, being humble. And if you're a Christian here today, I want to ask you, is being humble more than just a word you use to describe a friend of yours? Oh yeah, he's a humble guy, he's a humble girl. Is it more than that? Or is it in fact a characteristic that you pursue daily? That's what I want to ask today. Is humility a characteristic of God that you pursue daily? Being humble brings glory to God and without doubt has an incredible impact in your life. Humility is about being small and fixing your eyes on the one who is greater. I think C.S. Lewis describes it so well like this. It should come up on the screen. He says, true humility isn't thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. That's cool, right? True humility isn't thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And I hear that and I think it is, right? It is a bit more about self-forgetfulness than it is about putting yourself down, right? That feeling of being so small, but so assured in the presence of God who is greater. If you are not a Christian here today, I want to ask you, do you have anything like this in your life? And not just something to add to your life. Do you want to be a part of this that is greater? And you know what? You can start a relationship with God right here, today. This is true. And God is greater. And I want to say, this doesn't need to be a master epiphany, right? But can be as simple as you being humble and saying, I want to be with you, Father. You can start this relationship with Jesus saying, I'm inviting and I'm pleading with you to accept God today, not for the tally of Christians or for more money in the church. That's all rubbish, right? It's just about you seeing the canopy of stars above you, seeing the greatness of God and being in awe. That's what I want to see today. And to believe the love of God that he has for you in Christ Jesus. I'm going to pray and I want you to pray with me. Father God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are humble. That you are a God who emptied yourself that we may know and have a relationship with you. God, and I just ask that today I can start this relationship with you, God. I just ask that today can be the start of this life that I do with you. God, and I ask that you would show me the cross and how incredible you are, and that I can fall in love with Jesus, who is worthy to be exalted and is the name above every name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Maybe God really spoke to you today, and that is what I prayed, and that is what I hope. And I want you to talk to him. I want you to ask him to change your life to a life of humility. We're now going to have a time of reflection and to sit, to think, and to talk to God. And we'll come back and we'll worship in just a minute. Let's have a think.